أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر، وحفه بملائكتك المقربين، وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم من ليلنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. صلوات صلى على محمد. It is part of our belief that all the messengers appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 124,000 prophets and all our imams, were what we call ma'sumin. That means that they were, as it is translated into English, they were infallible. Infallible, ma'soom means that they cannot commit mistakes. They cannot commit sins. And this particular belief that we hold as Shias is something that even the Sunnis would like to argue with and say, no, even the Holy Prophet is an ordinary human being and can commit mistakes. So, we look at the study, we find there is enough evidence in the Holy Quran, there is enough evidence using our own logic, the necessity, the need for the prophets and the imams to be infallible. There is enough evidence. The one and the main verse in the Holy Quran that we shall see today, and I'm sure it is in the tip, in the mouth of every one of us, the tip of our tongues. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innama yuridullahu liyudhiba ankum ar-ridsa ahla al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. You see, my personal opinion, my personal experience is that if we were to understand the Holy Quran the way Allah wants us to understand the Holy Quran, not to use the Holy Quran when we, you know, when we have certain hajat or when somebody dies, or to recite the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan. The Quran is a book of guidance. It has answers to everything that we may need. But only if we took the pain to open the holy book and understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These verses are not just like you open the Quran, open the dictionary, open the translation and we understand. No, it doesn't work like that. It is a tafsir, it is a science that takes people years to understand. The scholars spend their lives trying to write or give tafsir of certain verses. And here we are, we think we understand the Quran by opening a translation, say, but it is there in the Quran. What is there in the Quran? This particular verse, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا is a verse that we have recited so many times. We have heard so many times. And tonight I will ask you only one question that I can assure you, we have never thought about the question. The translation goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remove or ward off or avoid any kind of evil from you, Ahlul Bayt, and keep you pure. That's the translation. So whilst we ask the question, who are the Ahlul Bayt? Whilst we ask the question, what is this rijs that Allah is talking about? Evil that He wants to keep away from Ahlul Bayt. Whilst we ask the question, what is the kind of purity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like? The first question we should ask, and this is tadabbur, this is tafsir of the verse. The first question we should ask, that when Allah says, innama yuridu, when He wants, what is this want? Why does He want this to Ahlul Bayt? Why doesn't He want it for me and you? What is this irada? Innama yuridu is from the word irada. Allah wants. Well, doesn't He want it from me and you to keep away from all evil? Doesn't He want from me and you as ordinary human beings to become clean and pure, to keep away from sins? He wants that from me and you as well. So what is so different that He wants from the Ahlul Bayt what He wants from me and you as well? Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahlal bayt. Allah wants that irada that He wants from me and He wants from you and He wants from Ahlul Bayt to ward off, to keep away all evil from around Ahlul Bayt. This is tafsir. And you find that Mufassireen explaining very clearly that when it comes to the intention of Allah, irada of Allah, there are two kinds of irada. One is irada tashri'iyya, which means I want you to do this, the choice is yours. And the other one is irada takwiniyya, which means I want you to do this, it will happen whether you like it or not. See, the Surah Yasin, which says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants something, all He does is says, be and it will become. What irada is that? What intention is that? That intention is intention, what is called takwiniyya. That means the kind that Allah, when He so wishes, nothing will stop Him, because He is all powerful, He is almighty. It is His wish. By the same time, there is that intention which says, I want you to become a good Muslim. I wish you that you are a good Muslim. But that irada, that want, is not the same as when He says to something, it becomes. All He has to say is be. So, We come now understanding the two different wants, the irada that Allah has. Then ask this question, that when it comes to innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-ridsa ahlal bayt, is this irada tashri'iyya or irada takwiniyya? Irada tashri'iyya, once again, as a reminder, irada tashri'iyya would mean that, O ahlal bayt, I want every kind of evil to remain away from you. But you've got to do something about it. Whereas irada takwiniya would mean that I want every kind of evil to keep away from you, and I will make sure that no evil comes near you. It is the second one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Ahlul Bayt, as he mentions in the Holy Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant to you that particular status. Now, this is very, very important, because you see, my whole aim is to throw a different light, to understand the status of the Prophet and the Imams in a different perspective. Our question is this granted from Allah the power to remain away from sins? When Allah has said in the Holy Quran that I will keep away all kind of evil from you, then what is so different? What is so unique about the Imams? If Allah had given me the same talent, if Allah had endowed on me that particular talent, that now no kind of evil will approach you, would I have been a ma'soom? And this is the biggest objection people have. People say that Imam is a ma'soom, Prophet is a ma'soom, but what is so great about their ismat when Allah says in the Holy Quran, it is He who has protected them from any kind of evil. It is He who has protected them from committing any kind of sins. So if Allah has given them the protection, what is so unique about their own action? Right? And this is where we have to understand. You know, we come back to that spirituality that the Imams had in themselves. That ability to do good deeds, that understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that raised their status, that elevated their status. And they were so close to Allah. Now, how close did they get to Allah? This is something we have to understand. The first thing, and these are different phases and stages as we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that a mu'min, a believer, gets close to Allah, whereby he would then come to a level where my eyes would be Allah's eyes, my ears would be Allah's ears. That means that everything I would see Allah in it. Everything I would hear Allah in it. If there is no mention of Allah, if there is no association with Allah, I would not be interested. I would get to a level of Iman where my eyes would be Allah's eyes, my ears would be Allah's ears. That is one level. Then above that, there is a level. This is interesting. There is a level where not my eyes would be Allah's eyes. I would be representing Allah on this earth. Now there comes a time when Allah would be proud to call me His eyes. It's a difference, huh? First, I would become Allah's eyes in my eyes, that I would use whatever I want to see, whatever I want to hear, and make sure that it revolves around Allah. Then I would get to a stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to see what I like, see through the eyes of Ali. If you want to understand what I represent and what I like, look at what the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam does. Then there is Yadullah fawqa aydihim. Right? When does this happen? When these personalities have attained that level of purity, when then iradatullah iradatuhum wa iradatuhum iradatullah. Then comes a stage where what they want is exactly what Allah wants, and what Allah wants is exactly what they want. Then there is no difference in what Allah wants and what they want, and what they want and what Allah wants. When the irada becomes one, that is when Allah says, "Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhiba ankum ar-rijsa." Allah wants to remove all kind of evil from you, because that is exactly what you want. Your irada is Allah's irada. Allah's irada is your irada. You have heard of the story. And this is a very famous story. It was Eid time. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam were two young children. And when they were playing with children outside, they could see that all the children were preparing for Eid, new clothes. So they came back home. The story, they came back home. And they said, "Ya Umma, what about us? Our clothes." Fatima Zahra alayha salam said that your clothes is with the tailor. You will get it. When in fact, she didn't know what to do. And of course, the story goes on. The following day, just before Eid, an angel comes from paradise, knocks the door and says, "Here are the clothes that you had given to the tailor." And Bibi Fatima takes the clothes, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, new clothes for Eid day. When this hadith was written, underneath the hadith there is an argument that says, a discussion that says, did Zahra alayha salam lie? Did she lie when she said your clothes are with the tailor? And the answer given is understood in light of what just we have discussed. That no, Zahra alayha salam did not lie. These were Hassan and Hussein, Sayyidi Shababi Ahlil Jannah. When they want something, their irada is Allah's irada. And Allah's irada is their irada. If it was anything other than Allah's wish, then it would not have come into the hearts of the Imams. And when the Imams wished something, Allah has already wished it, and it was this understanding in Zahra alayha salam, that these two sons of mine are, see, the relationship was not ordinary mother-son relationship. The favor was not an ordinary mother-son relationship. It was understanding the status of these two children, that these two are the leaders of the youths in paradise, and whatever they wished, Allah wishes. And if Allah wishes, He will arrange that the clothes will come. Once we have understood this, that this is the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect the Ahlul Bayt at any cost. Because the Ahlul Bayt had struggled, had wanted, had reached that status where now whatever they want is what Allah wants. Now they are at that stage where nothing bad will touch them. No evil deeds will come close to them. That means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no evil deed will come close to them, that means they can't even think of anything evil. You know, in terms of spirituality, when we talk of spirituality, we say the first is action. Action. That I must do all the wajibat and refrain from all the muharramat. The basic one. Take one step further, that I must do all the mustahabbat and stop doing all the makruhat. Must do all the mustahabbat and stop doing all the makruhat. After that, directions. Once I get to a level where every day, all the mustahabbat, 51 rakats I recite every day. All the good deeds of the day I do. All the makruhat I keep away. So I get to that status. Then, after that, what? I have attained spirituality? No. From there, then there is these words that at time our utterances, we have to be so careful in what we say, in how we say it, in when we say it. And thereafter, once we have even, you know, mastered that, we have trained ourselves to control our utterances as well, then comes a phase where even our thoughts are very clean, where we can't even think bad of others or think of committing a sin. Khutubul, what I just say? How will you know? Once we get to that level where even our thoughts are pure, we are close to the phase that is called Muqarribeen. We are not there. That purity is at a very high level. So when Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ, that means that rids, that evil, that vice, that dirty action from it, all its forms. Allah wants to keep them away from you, not you away from them. Huh? There's a difference. Allah is not saying that I will keep you away from the bad deeds. No, Allah is saying I will keep the bad deeds away from you. That you are so pure, this dirt will not even come near you. So you will not even think bad things. And that is what the Imam, whenever the Imam is asked, especially the fifth and the sixth Imam, who are asked at length to explain what is this Ismat. And they explained. Mind you, whilst I started with the fact that Ismat itself is something that we believe, the Shias, that the Sunnis have it in their books, huh? In their tafsir, Tafsir Fakhruddin Razi, Tafsir Suyuti, they also have given evidence at the bottom of this particular verse and another verse that we shall talk about, that this verse proves the Ismat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So all the evil will be kept away from you. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam explains, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, that if I bring a glass of water which has enough bacteria that you can see, that you know it is dirty, that may have been picked up from sewage water, it is water, would you even think of drinking from that glass? And when the person said, no, I would not think of drinking from that glass, Imam said, just as you wouldn't even think of doing that, we wouldn't even think of ever disobeying Allah. Never. Just as you would feel disgusted we would feel disgusted by any sin. We would not even think of doing it. That is ismat in Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Now, the question is, who are the Ahlul Bayt? And I know in Surah Al-Ahzab, where this particular verse is there, before this verse and after this verse, Allah is addressing the wives of the Holy Prophet. وَقِرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرُّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. That stay in your houses and do not come out and parade yourselves the way you paraded yourselves in the era of Jahiliyyah. All these verses are before there. Then Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to addressing the women. So what happens is that immediately those who are against the Ahlul Bayt, and remember, whatever tafsir that has come from that time is from people who are against the Ahlul Bayt. They hated the Ahlul Bayt because of the special love that the Holy Prophet had for them. And they would say, but no, Ahlul Bayt means people living in the house. And Ahlul Bayt means the wives of the Holy Prophet. First of all, for people who understand Arabic, there is simple switch in address. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when addressing the wives of the Prophet, وَقِرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرُّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, is addressing them in plural form, which is entirely feminine. And here, immediately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ, which is referring to masculine plural. Why the switch? So first thing, there is a change, that here now, Allah is not addressing the women. Allah is addressing some men and women together. So this address is to different audience, not to the same audience as women before and now. Immediately, an Arab reader would be able to denounce the difference, that this is different. Then you open the ahadith. There is ahadith in Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, Masnad Ahmad, in all the books that you can think of. Open the ahadith, that which verse, this verse is referring to which incident and which event. And they will tell you that this is the Hadith Kisa. And in Hadith Kisa, Umm Salma, the wife of the Holy Prophet, when all the five Ahlul Bayt were under the cloak, under the blanket, Umm Salma tells him, Ya Rasulullah, do you allow me to come in? And the Holy Prophet turns to her and says, Ya Umm Salma, anti ala khair, you are good where you are. This place is reserved for only these people. No questions asked. So, we have from the Hadith, we have from the Quran, that there is absolute purity, where there is no room for error. Now, using the Quran and logic, again, this was Quran and Hadith, now using the Quran and logic to prove the ismat of our Imams and Prophets. When Prophet Ibrahim was asked, when with this particular verse that I recite every day, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I am going to make you an imam. We have seen in the first day that this status of an imam was different to the Prophet, was different to the Messenger, was different to the title of Prophet Ibrahim, of a friend of Allah. Everything different. Now Allah has granted him the status of an imam. And in that status he says, what about my progeny? What about my family? Will you endow the same title to my family? قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَحَدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, I will give it to people from your family as well. But only those who are not zalimeen. For those who are zalimeen will not get this promise. So, Allama Tabatabai says, he asks this question. He says, who are the zalimeen? See, when we talk of zalim, we talk of zalimeen as those who are tyrants, as those who are evil rulers. But zalimeen are all those who have done any kind of zulm, including those who do zulm over themselves. That is why when we recite in Dua Kumail, we say, zalamtu nafsi, I have done zulm over myself, and zulm over myself is that I have committed sins. I have done an injustice to myself by disobeying you, Allah. Now, Allama Tabatabai says that zalimeen encompasses all evil rulers and those who are sinful. Would Prophet Ibrahim ever ask a dua that you grant this imam to somebody who is a zalim? Prophet Ibrahim was indeed a unique prophet, was a great prophet. Why did Allah have to clarify that my promise will not be granted to those who are zalimeen from your family? Was because Allama Tabatabai says that there are four kinds of people. Number one, those who are zalim throughout their lives. And these are people who Prophet Ibrahim would never have asked for. Then there are secondly, those people who were good in the beginning, but towards the end of their lives were sinful people. Again, Prophet Ibrahim would never have prayed for these kind of people. There remains only two kind of people for who Prophet Ibrahim would have asked for. One are those who in the early days of their lives were sinful, but towards the end were good and pious people. And two are those who had never committed sins in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping these two kinds in front of him, says those who had committed sins in their life, be it earlier in their life, be it I had forgiven them after that, I will never give them imamat. There remains only one kind, one and one only, are those who have never committed a sin in their life. Never. These are the people who I will give them imamat. Fakhruddin Razi in his tafsir says about this particular verse, he says in tafsir Ibn Kathir, he says, if this verse does not prove the imamat of Ahlul Bayt, then I don't know which verse proves, huh? The ismat, the infallibility of Ahlul Bayt. If this verse does not prove, then I don't know which verse would prove the ismat of Ahlul Bayt. So, the Imams, the Ahlul Bayt are infallible, where they are not prone to make errors, they will not make mistakes. And of course, there is an interesting study. When you look at the Prophet, starting from the time of Prophet Adam up to our Holy Prophet, if you look at the Prophet's lives, all the Prophets, Prophet Nuh, Prophet Adam, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, Prophet Yusuf, Prophet Sulaiman, Prophet Dawood, you find that the Quran talks about them making errors, committing sins. Right? And that is something we shall see tomorrow inshallah, to understand that why is it we believe they are ma'asum, yet the Quran talks about them committing sins and errors. We will look at it tomorrow inshallah, to understand and reconcile between the two. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.